B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think it's a pretty argument, actually, that people would say that. Because, again, I can't do his job and he can't do mine.
Right.
So the fact that you could say, would I be successful without him, the same level of success, I don't believe I would have been. But I feel the same in vice versa as well. To have him allowed me to be the best I could be. So I'm grateful for that. And I very much believe that he feels the same about me because we've expressed that to each other.
Okay, so it's hour number 3, Felger and Mads, presented by DraftKings here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. I know a lot of you are listening to us at home, maybe on your smartphone, the app, 98.5 The Sports Hub app. You can still download that thing on the web, 98.5thesportshub.com, or your smart speakers. You must imagine Mads has like 14 spread throughout his house. He just goes into a room and says something, and then all of a sudden, magically, things start happening because he's all geared up. But you just say 98.5 The Sports Hub into your smart speaker, Mads, or how do you do that again?
Yep, you say, Alexa, play 98.5 The Sports Hub, and then there it goes.
Boom! We come right up. So, just following up on Brady's Howard Stern interview yesterday, there was him with a legacy question, and it's clear to me, and I think we all agree, that Brady's far more comfortable with the legacy argument than Bill Belichick, where Brady can say, I wouldn't be the same guy without him. And you know what? Vice versa. He probably feels the same way, and it was never about that for me, and this me going to Tampa is not about that, and it's just not about that because I don't care about my legacy. Now, the last part of that, he obviously cares about his legacy to a degree, to a large degree. He cares about his legacy to a large degree. So maybe his comfort level, Mads, is the fact that his legacy is more secure. And that's been driven home to me in the last 24 hours. But just before I play some sound, we all agree when I ask you, who's got more to lose these next couple of years, Brady or Belichick? We all agree it's Belichick, right?
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, Devin, I'm sorry, Murray. The other thing is when I listen to it, I think that Brady is comfortable talking about it because for him, you know, it elevates him a little bit. And when I say that, I mean, now you're putting him on the same level as the coach. I think Bill would have a hard time saying, yeah, you know, Tom and I, neither one of us would have accomplished what we would have without the other. Bill can't bring himself to say that because he doesn't believe it.
Well, I just think it's easier for Brady or really any player to be more comfortable in their skin when it comes to something like this because the results are more tangible. You know what I mean? Like, you've seen it. You've seen what they can do in the field with a coach, even one as accomplished and as great as Belichick. You can always say, well, the player also had the ability, and I saw the player actually make those plays, so how much did the coach really influence him? You know, it's just, it's more of an unknown when it comes to the coach than a player.
Well, I agree with that in general, but I think also Bill gets special treatment, which we've talked about. And when I say special treatment, I mean especially bad treatment or critical treatment, you know, because he's such an a-hole half the time, people want to poke holes in him and go back at him. So,
well, and all the all the shadiness too doesn't help,
right? Yeah, and never mind the cheating stuff and all of that. So, I think Bill's got a bigger target on his back than most coaches. Like, you know, and again, I just use the analogy when Lombardi was done with Green Bay, no one said, ah, he was just a product of Nitschke or Horning or Taylor or Bart Starr. He had great play. No. It was, and no one does that to this day. Even though he went to the Redskins for one final year and went 8-8. No one does that to him because he was revered in his time and he's revered now. Belichick is not revered. Okay, his track record is it's respected, but he's not revered. So I think people want to take shots. And Mez has talked about this before, and he's right. And also, he has the Cleveland thing hanging over his head. It's not like Lombardi or Walsh even had a prior failure where you'd say, well, Bill Walsh was, you know, 35 and 42 those 4 years in Seattle, or Lombardi was a losing coach with the Cleveland Browns, whatever. Like, so they don't have – Bill has the Cleveland thing. And I just think that Bill has far more to gain or lose these next couple of years than Brady. If Bill falls on his face these next couple of years, people are going to look at his time in Cleveland and these years after Brady and say that's what he is and he was just a product of Brady. Where if Brady fails in Tampa, they're just going to say He's old. What do you expect? He's 43. And that was driven home just watching ESPN in the last 24 hours. Two cuts. Here's Rex Ryan. This is the kind of thing. If Bill falls on his face, this is what he can expect from Rex Ryan. He's with Stephen A. Smith, who's pushing him on basically Brady or Belichick. And you'll hear the exchange here. Go.
When you were on the other sideline, who were you more worried about? Bill Belichick and what he did schematically or Tom Brady? Who was it? It's got to be
Brady,
one of them.
Because Bill, it was definitely Tom Brady. If I got to take one, I'm taking Brady. All right. And the reason I say, look, I did finally get a chance to play him. And I always point out, yeah, we shut out the Patriots when they never had Tom Brady. They were 3-0 at the time. We shut them out when I brought Buffalo into Foxborough one time. So to me, I know it.
Rex Ryan, a question. Tom Brady is 219 and 64 in his career as a quarterback. Rex Ryan, obviously you had the job in New York. You ultimately had the job in Buffalo. You're now working for us as opposed to being the head coach of the National Football League. If Tom Brady were your quarterback, where would you be working right now?
Please, I'd be sitting back there with that whole thing full of those Super Bowl trophies. Like I said, they would have my name on it and not my dad's, my brother's, or whatever. And I truly believe that because I know I was a great coach. But, you know, nobody's going to give me credit. They're going to say, oh, yeah. Well, you give me a quarterback. You give me somebody like Tom Brady. We'll see how many of those things I would have won. Let's give him somebody else. Let's give him Geno Smith. Let's give him whoever. And let's see how many Super Bowls he would have won. You know, we saw the answer. There was zero in Cleveland. Okay, so to me, I'm just telling you. All right, he never won in Cleveland. He had a good football team, but never won a Super Bowl in Cleveland.
Okay. That's a perfect example of what Bill faces if he fails these next couple of years. Rex Ryan, who certainly was a close rival of his here in the division, so he's, you know, got a little extra juice. But that's the commentary. That's the commentary. You give me Tom Brady, I got Super Bowl trophies on my bookcase behind me, is what Rex Ryan is saying. You see what he does with Geno Smith at quarterback, or Mark Sanchez, which, you know, he didn't say, but is the same argument. This is what Bill's going to get thrown in his face if he fails these next 2 years, Maz.
Oh, repeatedly. And look, I think that Rex actually likes Bill. And I always thought that Bill liked Rex, at least until now. Like, I don't know if he'll like him anymore after hearing some of that. I thought Rex went a little too far. I mean, you know, look, you give the same 20-year period, same players, just put Rex in instead of Bill. They don't win six Super Bowls. Okay, they don't win six. We all know that Rex can't hold Bill's jock when it comes to that. But the point I know the point you're making, which is in the bigger picture, there are a lot of coaches that will look at Bill and say, "Hey, come on! If I had Tom Brady, I'd have won five."
It's going to be held against Bill if he fails the next 2 years. His legacy takes a hit. That's a fact. Tom Brady? I don't know. I think all we're going to do is say that he hung on too long. And I don't think anyone's going to go back and say, well, you were just a product of Bill. And I got a good example of that. Again, watching ESPN, my buddy Mike Greenberg, and the Get Up show this morning, Marcus Spears, who he has on the show, who's really good, was sort of asked this question and on this topic. Listen to what he said.
What do you think, Marcus Spears, is at stake for Brady going forward as a football player from a football perspective?
Nothing, G. I don't think anything is at stake. Like we've been talking about and lamented about, Tom Brady is already a made man, basically. What he did was unconventional to anything we've seen happen in the NFL before, and I probably won't ever see it again.
Okay, and I just cut it there because that's all we need to hear. He's got nothing at stake. He's already a made man. And that's going to be the commentary. And so this occurs to me. Why is Brady so comfortable answering that legacy question and so articulate and strong on it? Because he knows. He knows he kind of has nothing to lose. And it's not nothing to lose, but it's very little. I don't think anyone's going to go back and say, "Yeah, what were you? What were you without Bill?" Nope, they're going to say you hung on too long and that's it. If he fails, you know, if he succeeds, you know, he even goes up another notch. But I don't think anyone's going to go back and rewrite history on him and take things away from him.
No, even if he's complete garbage, he has the easy out of, well, he's 43. It was going to catch up on him eventually, right?
If Bill fails, ooh, they all come out of the woodwork. What about Cleveland? Oh, well, I guess it was just about Tom Brady. If Bill fails, oh, he's going to get it. And it's not going to keep him out of the Hall of Fame or anything like this, but you know, just the things that, and Bill does care about this. You know, people talk about the great coaches and all of this. People are going to say, well, I don't know. I got to knock him down on my list. When he lost Brady, he turned into just another guy. And it's going to affect Bill. And this is why I think Brady can answer the questions one way. And not, I don't know if Bill ever entertains it publicly the other way. But there's way more at stake for Bill.
Oh, look, and again, Brady was way more likable, particularly among the media. And, you know, I think overall generally more cooperative than Bill was over the years, and it's going to work in his favor in this particular argument. And look, I'm saying this just so our positions are all known and drawn, and I know what yours is. You've always been on the Bill side of it. I've been on the Brady side of it, and does not mean I think that Bill's a lousy coach. I think, you know, to me, I've always said Bill gets him to 10-6, 11-5. Brady's the one that takes him over the top. And I will believe that. Bill can put it to rest. But, Mike, there are people lined up waiting for him to fall on his face. They are lined up. The waiting list for that line is longer than the season ticket list in Foxborough. to line up and kick the crap out of Bill Belichick when he falls on his face, if he falls on his face.
So, Brady, I think what he has to lose is people just saying he hung on too long. And that might be... I really think is the worst that's going to happen for Brady. You hung on too long. You should have walked away when you were on top, and you look 43. Like, that's the worst that's going to happen. They're not going to go back and say, you're a product of someone else, and they are going to do that to Bill. Oh, they're going to do that to Bill. And maybe Brady knows it. Maybe that's why he's so comfortable answering that question and so strong answering that question. So that's one follow-up that I had. Maz had another one with Brady that we'll give you later on this hour. But we'll get to your phones right after these words.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And streaming anywhere you go on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Mike Felger, Tony Maserati, making your afternoon commute better.
Throw some, Felger. How about a mea culpa? You are wrong. Running backs do matter.
Or worse.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay him.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
But I would say, I never cared about legacy. I mean, I could give a shit about. I never once when I was in high school said, man, I can't wait for what my football legacy looks like. I mean, that's a very... It's just not me. That's not my personality. So why would I choose a different place? It's because it was just time. I don't know what to say other than that. Like, I had done everything. I accomplished everything I could in 2 decades with an incredible organization, incredible group of people, and that will never change.
So Brady says he doesn't give a crap about his legacy, maybe because he knows it's secure. And it is.
Just real quick. I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well,
go ahead.
This is the one that actually irks me. I mean, you had one that you had to get off your chest earlier in the show. This is the one where he says he doesn't care about legacy. He comes out and says that. It's just such a crock. His whole lifestyle brand is about sustaining his legacy. TB12, that's what it's about. And how it can help benefit his goal to play until he's 45, which he's been talking about for like the last 5 years. The diet, the book, the workouts, the pliability bands, the expensive nuts, the expensive pajamas. All of that has to do with helping him keep on playing to further solidify his, anyone? Any legacy. He wants to solidify his legacy that he's the greatest to ever play the position. So for him to say he doesn't care about it, it's fake humility. So don't give me that.
Murray, as you say it, though, I start to wonder that maybe it's because Brady has something else. And if you follow me, he's got TB12. Like, in his mind, he's not going to play anymore, but Tom Brady will continue. Bill's got football. That's it. I mean, it is Bill the coach, and that's it. There's nothing else. And so, you know, I know people say, well, he'll go coach lacrosse, he'll vanish, whatever. But in terms of who he is, it's all tied into football, and that's it.
Okay. I think what you're saying there, of course he cares about his legacy, of course. I think he's able to say he doesn't care, but what he really means is, I'm not concerned with it because I know it's secure. I know it's secure. People aren't going to hold these next 2 years in Tampa against me. If Bill fails in New England without him, people are going to hold it against Bill. You better believe it. So, Tyler in Manchester, bring us back. What do you got?
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
Good. What do you got?
I love the show. I just wanted to talk about Brady real quick.
Please go. Do it.
I don't understand why he left. I mean, he was such a great guy with the New England Patriots. He brought us 6 Super Bowl rings. Why did he go?
And I okay, Murray, answer it in 20 seconds or less. Why did Tom Brady leave?
Because he hated Bill.
I love it. Okay. Someone, Maz, same thing.
It's like name that tune. You give him 20 seconds. Murray says, I can name that in one note.
I mean, Jesus. The guy asks a question that we spend 20 hours a week explaining. So it's like, you know, we've been over it. But if I had to say, explain it, Maz, in 20 seconds or less, why is Brady not here?
I think he was done with the whole, you know, Patriot way, and mostly Bill. He was done. It was over. He was done with it. He was tired of, you know, being used by them, and that's it. I'm done. I'm out of here.
Can I answer the question?
Sure.
They didn't want him. They didn't want him. They didn't want him on his terms, and that's why he's not here, because if they wanted him on his terms, he'd still be here. So there's the answer to that question. Tony and Shirley. Hi, Tony. What do you got?
Michael, I'm just going to go. Listen. I've been hearing all this thing. I was in cram it in. Do this, do that. Listen to me. I'm a high school dropout. We waited this long. I think they should just continue a year from now where they left off. There's no way that any team that's on top, especially the Bruins, they got better. If you're watching that 2011 series, they got better as it went on. I don't want some stupid round robin. Let's just get this, wait it out for 12 months. It'll happen. They get a vaccine. We can pack the stands. What's a year to wait? Instead of more people dying or the owners need money, they got enough money to go 5 years, most of them. They don't need it. And people are craving this. Even in golf, you know, 90% of everybody said it'd be great. That one person starts it all over again. You wait it out, you get a vaccine, and then we can pack the stands. The Bruins earned the right. They got better as the series went on in 2011. I'm telling you. I'm a high school dropout. I'm telling you, it's better to wait it out. Just continue on. The only downfall.
Okay, Tony, I gave you a minute. I was waiting for the Tony and Shirley out. You said you'd be quick. I gave you a minute, but I do like the fact you opened and closed with the fact you're a high school dropout. I don't know how that's germane to your take. But
well, that's like his stairway. He's playing the hits.
I love that guy.
But the take is this, and I, Murray, maybe you agree with it, because you don't like, you've sort of come around to this, I don't want half measures. I don't want empty stadiums. I don't want biospheres. I don't want quarantined teams. Come back only when everyone can come back. So what if it's not for another year that you can't put people in these stadiums? Would you just pick up where we left off with the NBA and NHL seasons at this time next year?
No. It's a whole new season. You start anew, and you unfortunately have to miss out on everything that you felt should have happened this year, like the Bruins probably winning the Stanley Cup, and if you're a Lakers fan, watching them host the Larry O'Brien trophy.
But can I just, I mean, like, look, I don't want this because I want sports back as soon as possible, but why can't you just toll everything? Toll meaning, you know, like just extend everything. Just put the pause button on it. And so then you don't have to, like, the Mookie Betts service time, anything. You know, it's all just on pause. Just fast forward to March, April of 2021, and we pick it all right back up right there. Like, I don't know. Is there a case? And the TV contracts extend 1 year. The salaries, the player contracts, everything just extends 1 year. Just erase 2020 and put in 2021. Is that feasible?
Yeah, the rest of us had to pay the price for this hell that we're living in. Sports has to, too. So it's all gone. Start a new season in 2021.
I don't know. I'm thinking about that out loud. I wonder about that. Don in Framingham on the return of baseball. Hi, Don.
Hey, yeah. Thanks for taking my call, Mike. Hey, this is, first, let me preface. I'm 72, and baseball is not my, it's not my favorite. But
did you finish high school, though?
But for Arizona, having these guys isolated, I heard Big Jim said, oh, what a freaking hardship, you know, these poor guys. Are you kidding, Jim?
Okay, I got to let you go. You can't use that word, but if you lost it on the drop there, the guy disagrees with Murray and the hardships of these baseball players being quarantined for 4.5 months. You want to answer, Jim?
Well, I guess he was a high school dropout, considering he ended up having to use a swear to get his point across. No, I just, I, I, I can understand why people think that I'm making too much of this and that you want to look at these players as soft if they didn't want to do this, but I just think it's worth bringing up. I mean, not for nothing, we supposedly care about mental health nowadays, right? Yeah, so I think it would be a hardship for some of these guys being away from their families. You already have them talking about it. Chris Sale said it would be kind of difficult. Granted, he's on the shelf anyway because of the injury, but others that are really close to their families and don't aren't always chasing road beef, that's tough to be away for close to 5 months. And not and be isolated like that, and it's just the hotel to the field, field to hotel, over and over and over and over again. At some point, I think some of these guys are going to crack.
We've got Rodney in Connecticut on the return to baseball. Hi, Rodney. Go ahead, please.
Hey, guys. How you doing? I'm going to get myself off the speakerphone. Sorry about that.
Good.
So anyways, about being isolated, listen, you got guys in the Navy who are doing donuts out in the middle of the ocean for months at a time. I used to be one of them. Secondly, you got millions of people in this country who are dying to be able to work. They're losing their businesses. They're going to be going into bankruptcy and stuff like this. And being away from family, hey, lots of people do it. So my bottom line is these guys need to go back to work. They sign contracts, go to work.
Rodney, I'm with you. I mean, I'm not going to yell at Murray because it's sort of how you personally approach it. And so, you know, some people just feel differently about different things. But I frankly have zero sympathy for the players.
And so the other thing, too. So, you know, people are going to be, you know, the broadcasters are going to have to go, right? So if I was one of these guys that was the play-by-play guy or the color man, you're going to tell me if I got to do this and I have to basically live in this, you know, sort of low-level prison for a little while, 4.5 months, 5 months, be completely isolated, you're going to pay me double? Because otherwise, screw. And I know, you know, people are lining up for these jobs. You'll find someone. But me, I wouldn't do it. No shot.
I'll tell you, though, Mike, you raised something earlier, too, that I do think is a factor. And I was stating it more as it pertains to, like, some of the rules and what some of the conditions are on the field when if and when baseball ever gets to the point where they try this thing. But, you know, baseball players have a lousy reputation to begin with. They come off as prima donnas. They're selfish. They're spoiled. And if they were to stand in the way of games being played at a time when the large majority of people are being deprived of lots of freedoms and in many cases, their income. Oh, boy, I just think the game will take a massive hit.
I mean, you're not willing to sacrifice, Murray. I mean, you got everyone's going to sacrifice on some level. And the level of sacrifice there for those baseball players, there's a level of sacrifice. But I don't know if it's fair to compare it to other, you know, areas of society or not, but I mean, it's sacrificing. You have to sacrifice to get through this thing and support your family and do what you can do. And on the levels of sacrifices, I don't think asking those players to do that is that big a one. But if they turn it into one, I know it's going to annoy me. Like, oh, you poor guys and your $20 million contract. You don't want to stay in the Ritz for 4 months in Scottsdale to play ball? Really? Like that? You know, never mind the guys in the Navy who are away for months at a time, or our fathers who went to war, or grandfathers who went to, like, all that. We could play all those heartstrings if you want. But, I mean, I just don't think it's that great of a sacrifice. But everyone's going to be making them here. You know, we should be so lucky that that would be our sacrifice. You know, we should be so lucky that our sacrifice is having to go to Scottsdale for 4.5 months to play baseball and make millions of dollars. You could give me that sacrifice. Eddie in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Eddie.
Yeah. There's no such thing as some kind of magic biodome. You can't have Trump's Space Force fly the freaking teams to the moon over to the Jetsons Arena. Every game would be a risk of them getting it, getting sick. If they get it, guess what? That's a risk of the medical professionals that would have to treat them. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think nurses and doctors' lives are worth a baseball game. So, my personal opinion.
Yeah, I feel like that's a little heavy-handed. I mean, I do. I mean, if Major League Baseball returns, they're putting nurses' lives in jeopardy. I mean, that's not a line that I would draw. But I agree that it's going to be difficult. It's a big undertaking to create a completely hermetically sealed hamster cage. There's going to be slips through the cracks. We talked about this the other day. So in addition to them creating a biosphere, the hamster cage, there has to be testing or treatment. So, like, I think everyone's come around on this. Nothing's going to happen anywhere. until we get better testing and treatments and those sort of things. We're waiting on the scientists, and I think all these sports are as well. And I just think they're preparing for that moment that there's a breakthrough in the testing or a wide distribution of the testing, and then these things become a little more viable. But it all starts with that testing thing, Maz.
Oh, and look, it's at the center of the whole thing, societally, sports-wise, all of it. And I know that you're talking primarily about the sports part. But I think the caller was heavy-handed, too. I mean, doctors and nurses put their lives at stake all the time. They do it all the time, being around people who are ill. Now there are more of them. And, you know, 80% of the public, based on some of the numbers that we've been told, aren't experiencing major symptoms with this thing anyway. But in terms of the players, Mike, they're going to have to test these guys daily. And until that, we get to that stage, I think it's all pie in the sky.
Okay, we can continue with your thoughts. Maz has an itch to scratch from something Brady said yesterday. We'll scratch it right after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Colin Cowherd of Fox and Fox Sports.
Felger and Maz.
Best afternoon show in America.
Mike Felger.
Felger's a smart aleck.
Tony Maserati.
You know your baseball.
Felger and Maz.
You guys do a great show.
98.5 to Sports Hub.
All right, we had some leftover thoughts from Brady and Howard Stern yesterday. I scratched a couple itches early. Maz, you scratch an itch now. What do you got?
Okay, so there was one particular instance during the interview, and I did not listen to the whole 2 hours either, like you, but I did listen to the podcast of it, or a good chunk of it anyway, and there was one little sequence that I did wince a little when he spoke, because I just thought it came off as egomaniacal, okay? And one of the things that has been sort of discussed in the middle of this is how Brady has changed over the years. He's become more about Brady, more about the brand, more about TB12, and less about the Patriots, and less about the football, and whether that's him maturing as a human being, whether it's Giselle's influence, I don't know. Okay, but I think it's something that we're all sort of aware of and, you know, maybe a little sensitive to or what have you. So he was talking to Stern about Jeter's house, and here's what he said.
Derek did a pretty good job of screening it, and I think I'm a little bit of a introvert. I feel like my house is kind of the place where I can relax. And, you know, when you walk outside the house, you understand everything that goes along with being me.
Okay. Everything that goes along with being me. And I thought, I'm nitpicking, so I want to say that up front. I'm nitpicking. He was doing an interview about him. It's hard to do those kinds of interviews without sounding self-centered and self-absorbed. And overall, I think Brady did a good job. But some of the things that are hard about being me. How about being a public figure? About being a professional athlete? About being someone that is deemed a celebrity? I just, when you say me, it comes off as LeBron. And it just bugged me. It bugged me the way he said it. I think that Brady, over the course of his career, his greatest attribute was his humility, his willingness to show up the next year, no matter whether he had won or lost, and approach it the same way, to maintain that level of intensity and not act like he was special or that it entitled him to anything or warranted him anything. And when I hear him say, being me, I went, oh, I cannot stand that. It absolutely drives me freaking bananas. And to me, it's evidence that he has changed a little bit later in his career.
Did you have a thought on that, Murray? Does that bother you as a Brady guy?
No, not at all. He's a rich and famous person. You act above it because you are above it. There's a hierarchy. He's better than others. He should talk about himself like that. I have no problem with it. If I had that kind of fame and those accolades, it'd be me, me, me all the time.
Well, you're not, again, and you're not wrong, Murray. I pick at, it's something that I, for whatever reason, have a huge antenna for. And so the littlest slip up where someone says, well, you know, when you live in a public eye, especially in this day and age, you know, there are certain trade-offs that come with the job. Like, to me, there are certain ways to say it. And as soon as you say me, it's like, oh, it goes right through me absolutely every time.
He's been a disingenuous weirdo off the field for years now, so I'm not that surprised by that kind of answer.
But, Maz, you go LeBron on him there? You go
okay,
LeBron
so,
there?
So, again, he's not as bad as LeBron. Don't get me wrong. LeBron has been a phenom from the time he was, you know, popped out of the womb, for crying out loud. He's been a complete freak in nature. He's been treated specially his whole life. Brady, in a lot of ways, was not, certainly not as an athlete. You know, maybe in his family, there was a fair-haired aspect to his upbringing, you know, being the boy of the family in the whole nine yards, and I don't want to go to psychoanalyze, but nothing that would distinguish him from any other, anyone else that has a similar upbringing.
No, I mean, I'm just talking about the a-hole factor. I mean, you think LeBron's one of the great a-holes in all of sports.
Oh, complete egomaniac. I mean, but I don't think LeBron's a quote-unquote bad guy. You've never heard me say bad guy, because there are lots of bad guys in sports, but LeBron just has no ability to see anything beyond his own scope or anything that doesn't directly affect him directly. Whereas I just, that one comment stuck out to me. I went, don't become him. Don't be LeBron. Don't do that. It's not who you are. It's not who you've been. It wasn't who you were for the majority of your career. It just bugged me. It bugged the crap out of me.
Okay, there's Maz's itch. We just scratched it. Your calls. Long commercial-free segment next.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
I looked up Tim Duncan's post-game press conference from when the Spurs won the title. And you know what comment stuck out to me? What happened last year definitely helped our drive. It very easily could have hit us, but we reacted the right way. We got great leadership from the top in Pop. Right? Nothing but we and us. Like, not one I, not one me, not one mine. I'm going to read you the transcript of the LeBron one part of which you heard. When I made my decision, I knew what I wanted to do. But I knew it wasn't going to be easy. It's going to be the toughest task for me.
I mean.
To get back to the finals.
I
got to step up.
Leadership. I mean.
I'm not a very patient guy. But I knew I had to work on that. To be able to sit at one point during the season and see us, oh my God, us, 19 and 20, and watch my team struggle, and me sitting out 2 weeks, and on, and on, and on. The whole thing is about him, always. Oh my God.
All right, any excuse there to throw in some squeaky Maz, we'll take it. Long commercial-free segment. Everything on the board. We followed up on a few different Brady things. The OTA thing. The legacy question. Brady's is secure. Bill's is not, in my mind. Maybe that's why Tom's so so confident in answering that question and comfortable answering the legacy question and saying it's not about legacy because, well, it is about legacy, but he knows no one's going to look back at him and say, well, you're just a product of the other guy. Boy, they're going to do that to Bill. You know they are. So that's on the table, the return of the Major League Baseball season. Murray is developing opinion is against. It's against the biosphere and the hamster cage and quarantine leagues. He says just bring it back when everyone's ready. That's on the table. We have some Mike Lombardi stuff that we'll get to as well. Playing down Tua and playing up Jared Stidham. What's the meaning of that? So all of it with your calls, as promised. Here's Jim on Cape Cod on the return of baseball. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Mike. I want to talk baseball, but real quick, I think Belichick is just going to turn into another Tom Landry. But on baseball, I hate to say it, but I agree with you. They should go and play in Arizona. I lived out there for 3 years. It's very hot sometimes, but they can have night games or they can go to Tucson, which is always 10 degrees cooler each day.
Okay, Jim, thank you so much. People love talking about the weather in Arizona, don't they, Mess? The thing
is, it's hot.
The sacrifice is being made, you know, and it's not like these guys owe us their sacrifice. They don't owe it to me. I'm just saying the sacrifices everyone is making on an individual level, jobs, you know, putting yourself at risk, whatever. There's sacrifices being made all over the place. The player sacrifice is staying in a nice hotel and playing baseball for 4 months in Arizona, which will be hot. You know, I just... To me, if I were them, it's a sacrifice that I would be making. There's people who are making far worse for their families and their livelihoods. And I disagree with Murray on this one. On the order of sacrifices, I don't think this is a debilitating one for them.
Oh, no. I mean, go ahead, Murray. I'm sorry.
No, it's not. And there's certainly worse things out there. I don't know. I think of sometimes, like, you know, sequestered jurors, those people that were sequestered on the OJ trial back 20 some odd years ago. How long were they sequestered for? Like a year? They were ready to all kill. They came back with their verdict so quick because they just wanted to get the hell out of there at that point, which is terrible, but that's the truth. And so, granted, they're not talking about a year here. We're talking 4.5, maybe 5 months. It's easy to say now that it's not that tough, and I can understand it, especially when they'd be staying at very nice places. But after 6 weeks or so, I think you're going to start to see some guys crack, and that's going to be either guys losing their minds or flipping out, and which would be interesting and give us something to talk about. But I don't know. I think you have to be concerned because we're living in a world now where you have to be concerned about everyone's mental well-being. That is something that would be... I think an issue for some of these guys, especially someone that maybe has had a substance abuse issue, like a Josh Hamilton type or something like that. It's easy to say now, like, we're all in this together, a month in, 2 months in, 3 months in. Talk to me then and see how people are reacting around that time.
I mean, maybe this is just more evidence of how out of touch baseball players are with reality sometimes. Because, like, think about it. As Murray was just saying, we're all confined to our home. Or you were just saying, Mike, we're all confined to our homes. We're making sacrifices. And we all want to get out of our homes. The baseball player wants to stay. Like, they don't want to leave their homes. It's sort of like you look at it and say, it's just... Man, it's just sometimes you feel like they are just never on the same page as everybody else.
But, I mean, just, oh, by the way, like, I don't feel on the order of what some other people are going through. My sacrifice, I consider myself lucky. I can't leave my house.
Sure.
I mean, that is, I am, how lucky am I? And how lucky is a baseball player that his grand sacrifice is that 4.5 months he'll be in Arizona playing baseball? Like, if those are your sacrifices, we're lucky. They're lucky, I think. Bruce
yeah,
in Boston...
I don't know if you said you're at your own house or that you're working from your house. We're working another. I mean, the number of Americans that have filed for unemployment now is over 17 million.
You got it. The number of people who don't even have a chance to go earn a livelihood. You know, never mind turning it down because I have to go to Arizona in the summer. Right. Exactly. You know, if you're working and still being paid, you know, you're lucky. We're lucky. Bruce in Boston. Go ahead, Bruce.
Hey, Mike, let me just lead off with I'm a high school graduate, and I'm not from Arizona, so I'm not going to give you any of that. But so back to Brady's legacy. So I absolutely think it is in question for one reason and one reason only, and that is if he goes there and he does not win or he has a 10-11-win season, doesn't get to the playoffs, then he will forever be tied to him and Bill. So I think there is still a little bit there that can potentially hurt that legacy.
So – Bruce, I'll hold it against him. Maybe you will too. Maybe, you know, there'll be a few of us on the fringes that will look back and say, well, you know, when he lost the coaching, he wasn't quite the same guy. I think the vast, vast majority of people will say, well, Jimmy, do me a favor. You got Marcus Spears there again on Get Up with Mike Greenberg. I think Marcus Spears put it perfectly. And I think for the vast majority of people, they're going to feel the exact way Marcus Spears does. Go ahead.
Marcus Spears is at stake for Brady going forward as a football player from a football perspective.
Nothing, G. I don't think anything is at stake. Like we've been talking about and lamented about, Tom Brady is already a made man, basically. What he did was unconventional to anything we've seen happen in the NFL before, and I probably won't ever see it again.
Brady's a made man. That's what I think 90% of the people are going to think. He's a made man, and if he falls on his face in Tampa, it's just because he was too old. If Belichick falls on his face, it's because he's not that good and Brady made him. And I think those are the stakes, and I think they both know it. I think they both know it. And maybe that's why Bill cares more about it. I think Bill definitely cares more about his legacy than Brady does his, but maybe that's because Bill knows there's more at stake. How about this one? Max in the truck. Who do you not want the Patriots to take at the draft, Max?
Hey, what's up, guys? I do not want them to take Tua. I think he's going to be a bust. I think he's injury prone, and I do not want them to take him. And also, did you guys see in the Howard Stern, he asked Brady about living in Jeter's house, and Brady's Zoom, I think, froze up on him? Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Yeah, so Jeter has crappy internet, right? But the Tua thing, there's Tua rumbling going on for the Patriots because someone came out and blasted Tua today. Now, we'll put that together and pick up the Tua issue to the Patriots. Right after Murray's 90-second update, there are no commercials, and we're right back with that topic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.